Move me to higher ground in the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. All right, if you've just joined us, let me give you the subject that we're dealing with. And I want you to write this in your notes. I'm the kind of guy, you know, I'll say, write this down, mark this in your Bible. That's just kind of the style that I have. So I want you to write with me. Don't just, you know, give me one of those Holy Ghost glazed looks. I want you right here. Amen. Oh, brother, I'm far away in the Spirit. I don't want you far away. I want you right here. But we're talking about activating the voice of God. Activating the voice of God. Now, right off, you know, that when you first hear it, that kind of cuts across some religious grain. I mean, some of us are familiar and aware of the voice of God. But so many people, they have this concept, and that is, well, you know, God's got my address. If God wants to speak to me, if God's voice, you know, if He wants to talk to me, I guess He'll come. He's sovereign after all. And there's really nothing I can do. It's really kind of up to God to find me and communicate with me. But that word activate is very important. I want you to write this definition down for those of you that may not have got it earlier. But the word activate means to set in motion. Isn't that good? To set in motion. So what are we talking about? We're talking about how to set in motion the voice of God in your life. Now, why is that important? Because you want to be doing what God wants you to do. You want to be building your life on what I would call revelation knowledge. Do you remember the story where Jesus talked to Peter? And He says, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father that's in heaven. And Jesus went on to say, He says, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build. Let's say it. Upon this rock I will build. One more time. Upon this rock I will build. Now that ought to be true not only for the church, you know, universal, but the church is made up of believers. You're a believer, I'm a believer, so I should endorse this in my life. Upon this rock I'll build my life. The rock of what? Not only the revelation of who Jesus is, Christ the Messiah, but the progressive revelation, the ever-unfolding revelation of the will of God. Now, that's going to come primarily through the voice of God. Now, when we talk about the voice of God, let's get rid of some preconceptions. You know, it's like Charlton Heston on the mountain. You know, and you're going to hear this voice in your room, Jason. Jason, remove thy shoes from off of thy feet. Second thought, put them back on. You know, and it's kind of like, oh, God, you know, the ricocheting voice of God across the walls. Well, you know, that could happen. That could happen. But primarily, and jot some of these things down. We've talked about some of these things already. But we're talking about what some people call the still small voice. That's one of the ways that God will communicate to you, the still small voice. Scripture being quickened to you. That's the primary method, really, the Holy Spirit will use. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will bring to your remembrance whatever I've said unto you. So what does the Holy Spirit use? The Holy Spirit uses the Word. Everybody say the Word. So many times it'll be a passage or a scripture that comes to you, or you're having your devotional time and the Holy Spirit just breathes. That's the Lord speaking to you. That's the voice of God coming to you. Some people say, well, I just knew. I just knew that I knew that I knew. How did you know? I don't know. The Holy Spirit gave me that knowing. So there's different ways of describing the voice of God. But here's what we're after. We want to build our lives on what the Lord is telling us to do. We want to build our lives on what the Lord is telling us to do. Okay, if we're going to do that, wouldn't it be good to begin to set this in motion? Hello, wouldn't it be good to set this in motion? Instead of just saying, well, I'll just wait for that magic day that comes. No, there's things you can do. And here's what I really want to hit hard. There's things you can do that will position you to hear God. Conversely, don't miss this now. Conversely, there's things that we can do that will block the voice of God. There's things we can do that will block the voice of God. You know, if you have unforgiveness in your heart or strife towards an individual, it's going to be very hard for you to clearly hear the voice of God. Why? Well, strife doesn't go together with the Holy Ghost very well. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that over in Ephesians, and we don't need to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29, he's talking about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying. And in verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. So, that is indicative of this. If Jason treats someone unkindly, unfairly, I hurt someone, and it comes to my mind that I've hurt them, I need to go clear that up if I want to keep my channels clear with God. Are you seeing that? And so a lot of people don't think like this. You mean there's things I can do that will activate the voice of God? Yes. You mean there's things I can do that could block or hinder the voice of God? Yes. And so what we've been doing is we've been walking ourselves through a number of these keys. Now, we don't have time to go back and cover all that ground, but just to kind of, you know, shotgun it, we put at the top of the list your personal study, your personal reading of God's Word. That is number one. The first key for you to activate the voice of God is God's Word. Somebody says, "Ooh, I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure I need the Word of God." You'll end up deceived. You'll end up as goofy as a $3 bill. You'll be going around saying the Holy Ghost said this and the Holy Ghost said that, and it is not even founded in the Word of God. Are you hearing me? So at the top of the list, you have to have at the top of the list the Word of God. Not only your personal time, one of the other keys we talked about was you sitting under anointed preaching, teaching, and fellowship that is around the Word of God, that's positive and faith-building. And I really emphasize that. That's positive. Everybody say positive. Now, I don't know how some preachers have done it, but they've just done a good job of it. How can you take the gospel and make it bad news? I don't know. But they've done that. You know, the gospel means good news, but there's some people you leave their meetings feeling worse than when you got there. Well, you know, obviously at times God can correct us. I'm not saying that. But you want to be around positive, uplifting, faith-building, preaching and teaching. Now, why is that important? That is an atmosphere through which the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You know, listening to the teaching tapes, listening to worship Hosanna tapes, things like that. You are going to create an atmosphere that's conducive to you hearing God. You go out and listen to Megadeth or, you know, this kind of wild stuff. You're not creating an atmosphere that's conducive to God speaking to you. You'll hear voices, but it won't be God. Amen? And, I mean, just the names of the albums ought to tell you something these days. Megadeth. Hey, every Christian needs some of that in their house. Amen. Running around. Poison. Oh, get a couple of doses of that every day. That'll help you move on to God quicker than you wanted, actually. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? And it's kind of like the perfumes. Have you ever noticed the names of the perfumes? I wonder what Delilah wore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the names of the perfumes, you know, Obsession, Possession. They never name that stuff Self-Control. You never go in there and say, "I'd like, you know, one of the bottles Self-Control." They go, "Huh?" You know, they've got Passion, you know, all this stuff. It's never like Temperance. Ooh, what's that aroma you got? It's Temperance. Amen. They don't do that, you know. And so what I'm saying is they're just like fragrance. There's atmospheres, what we listen to, the Word of God, studying the Word of God ourselves, the kind of atmosphere, music. These things are conducive, you see, to you activating or hindering the voice of God. Now, we're going to just have to pick it up where we kind of left off. I'm going to begin to give you some keys. We're going to cover several tonight. And I want you to write this down. Key number six. We're on number six. And if you missed the earlier sessions, then you can get the tapes and get caught up that way. All right, key number six, write this down. I'll mention each one of these several times. Key number six is prayerful meditation and waiting on the Lord. Prayerful meditation and waiting on the Lord. Now, in this morning's session, we left off with focused prayer. We talked about prayer. We talked about fasting. We talked about the personal habit. Everybody say the habit. You got to get addicted to this stuff. Yeah, the personal habit of praise and worship throughout the day. Just throughout the day you're in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But there is a place here for what we would just call prayerful meditation and waiting on the Lord. And the passage we're going to look at here in Psalms really distinguishes between that. I guess here's the difference. And I don't want you to look at this before we look at this passage. There's times where you're praying and you're asking. I mean, you're praying, you're pressing in. That's what I would call active prayer. Petitions, you're coming before the Lord, letting your requests be made known to God. Really where the difference is, this one of prayerful meditation is more of a listening repose. And so you need to write that in notes. More of a listening repose. Most people, their concept of prayer is they do all the talking. God says, "Why don't you be quiet and listen a little bit?" And so prayerful meditation and waiting upon the Lord is more on the listening side versus the asking side. Nothing wrong with asking. I'm not saying that. But there's a place where we got to do a little bit more listening. Do a little bit more listening. All right, Psalm 63. And let's begin with verse 5. Psalm 63, verse 5. David says, "My soul..." Everybody say, "My soul." Now let's just stop right there. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Now look what he says about your soul. Verse 5. He says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Now, I don't want to be, crude here, but what he's saying is, just like my tummy will get full if I go eat a T-bone steak or whatever food you enjoy, he says, my soul will be satisfied, that is, full, if I do certain things. How many of you know your mind needs the thoughts of God? Your mind needs the plans of God. How many of you tonight, right now, if I were to say, what is the area or the situation you're facing that you would like to see God fix? How many of you could tell me at least one thing? Wave at me. If you've got something right now, you'd like to know God's will about that. That's what he's saying. My soul will be filled, just like going to a good, a dinner. It'll be filled up with God's will, God's understanding. And look at the next few verses. It gets right into what we're talking about. Verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate. Circle that word meditate. That's really what we're talking about. Prayerful meditation and waiting upon the Lord. When I meditate on thee in the night watches. You get this picture of David. Here he's the king. You get this picture of David just laying on his bed. He's not really pressing in with a lot of requests at this moment. He's not really writing another psalm. Okay, I've already done 91 of them, The rest can wait. Praise God, But he's laying on his bed, and he's just in a kind of a listening state. He's just prayerfully meditating in the night watches. Now, I'll tell you, there's been many times in my life where major breakthroughs have come when I've been doing just what I'm talking about. And there's even a secular side to this. They say that Thomas Edison, one of the greatest inventors, used to get his solutions. He had a cot in his laboratory. And he would go and just lay down on his cot when he came to a situation that stumped him. And he said many times, kind of in that half between awake and asleep realm, he would come back, awake to his senses, and he would see the clear solution to whatever experiment he was doing. That's recorded in his biography. That's very interesting. Now, David, the spiritual side of this is we're not just after, scientific experiments, though there's nothing wrong with that. We're after the voice of God, the will of God. And there's times that you need to do that. There's times that I need to do that. Just kind of lay down before God. Maybe I've just listened to some Hosanna music or worshipful music. Maybe I've listened to a teaching tape or somebody reading the scriptures or whatever it may be. And I turn that off now. It's like I'm programmed, I'm conditioned, and now I'm just in that listening, meditating repose. I'll tell you, answers will come. I'll give you an example. About 3 years ago now, we were, believing God to sell our home that we were in, relocate in the same general area, buy a new home, closer to the children's school, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know why. This is a whole other story. I don't have time to pursue the whole thing. But fear just began to grip me. It's like, the first thought that came to my mind was, I like this house. Why are we moving? I don't want to move. I don't want to sell this house. Martha, my wife, I kind of blame her. She's not here. She said, let's sell the home. Amen. Well, I do have to give her credit. We finally did sell the house and get a wonderful house that's much better. Now it's like, we did it. Amen. We did it. But back then, she was getting the credit for pressing me into this. And so the for sale sign was up, and I just lay on the bed and I just said, Lord, why is this fear attacking me? Because what were you afraid of, Jason? Everything. I was afraid the house wouldn't sell. And all of a sudden it occurred to me it might sell. I was afraid it might sell. Why were you afraid it might sell? Because then I was afraid the interest rates would go skyrocketing and I couldn't afford the new house. And I just pictured. I know this. You say, that's a bad picture. I know. I told you I was being attacked. I just picture myself sitting in a U-Haul truck and my kids hanging out. Dad, where are we going to sleep? I don't know. My God, there's a cot in the back. Lay down. You know how crazy your mind goes? And I was just late. Yeah, your mother sold the house. That's good. Amen. Go talk to her. And I was laying on the bed just thinking about that, and I'm going to get just a little bit ahead here in one of the other keys. I was also praying in the Spirit during this time. I was kind of praying softly in the Spirit, listening, repose. And I'm telling you, the Lord came and began to speak to me in that situation. And he took me and said, Jason, I'll tell you why you're afraid and why you're about to make a bad decision. And the decision that would have been bad would have been not to sell the house. And he took me back in time to when I was a teenager and my parents got a divorce and the for sale sign went up in the yard. And he said at that moment, and see, if you've never been through that, thank God you don't understand what I'm talking about. But as a teenager, it is horrifying Number one, to see your family, your parents literally coming apart because, you know, they don't vote on those things. You do know that. And then to yell and scream and go through the house and split the furniture up. The for sale sign, you're powerless to do a thing. The for sale sign to go up in the ark. And the Lord took me back. Now, this was the furthest thing from my mind as I lay there in, you know, prayerful meditation before the Lord looking for an answer. The Holy Ghost knows. I said, the Holy Ghost knows. He took me back in time, and through praying in the Spirit and just in that prayerful meditation and waiting upon the Lord, he pinpointed it. He said, at that moment, fear came into you concerning family, concerning where you live, and it made so much sense to me. I saw the connection. And he said, well, what do you do? At that moment, I just said, Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. And then the Lord went on and he said, now, Jason, you may not want to sell your house, but don't base your decision on fear. If you don't want to sell your house, fine, but I really don't care where you live. Now, you know, I'm just going to tell you the way the Lord spoke to me. I realize in some cases the Lord may specifically direct you, but in my case, the Lord says, I really don't care where you live. I just want you to live somewhere in faith and not in fear, holding on to this house. And then the Lord came and he began to counsel me. He says, this house is a blessing, isn't it? And I had lived in that home longer than anywhere that I'd ever lived. You see, and so that was the home we brought Ryan home to. That was the home that we had brought, you know, Joanna home to. So a lot of my best memories in that home. And the Lord said, you must let go of a blessing in order to get a greater blessing. Oh, boy, that set me free. You know, it's not like you got to let go of something bad all the time. The Lord said, like to Abram, I mean, he was already a wealthy man before he left his homeland. He had to be willing to let go of a blessing in order to go to a land that the Lord would after show him. And so I made that decision. I said, we're going to sell the house. We're going to sell the house. It just so happened. Everybody say, it just so happened. Yeah. Ooh, I'll tell you, the just so happens will start happening. You'll start hearing God. You'll start getting the counsel of the Lord. The thoughts of God will start coming to you. It just so happened the buyer came a week or two later, bought our home. We got our asking price. It just so happened. Everybody say, it just so happened. Yeah. It just so happened that I found the home that we're now living in. Beautiful home, nice lot, you know, in the area that Martha had wanted. And it's now like, we did it. Praise God. We did it. Amen. Amen. We did it. My wife really gets the credit for that in the sense of seeing that. Men, if you don't know this, write this down. Listen to your wife. Maybe we should receive the offering before right now. I don't know. I might have lost the men right there. Men, listen to your wife. Listen to your wife. Are you getting anything out of this? Verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Verse 8. My soul, what's your soul? Mind, will, and emotions. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. So can you just see the principle? There's David. David's on his bed. You know, you say, that's not very spiritual. He should have been on his knees. Well, he's on his bed, and he's meditating. He's asking the Lord, and his soul is getting filled up. He says, my soul is getting satisfied. The Lord's ministering to me during this time. Go with me to Proverbs 4, Proverbs chapter 4. Now, again, these are very similar. I realize that this kind of runs parallel with the whole concept of prayer and worship, but there certainly is a distinction. There are times that you're going to be praying, and the best way to know how to put it, you're just cooking. I mean, you're claiming this, you're claiming that, you're rebuking devils, you're doing this, you're doing that. And there's a place for that, but there's other times where you just need to be quiet. Be quiet. Some people, they think the louder they pray, somehow it like gets through heaven quicker, something like that. Somebody says, well, you know, God's not hard of hearing. Well, I know, but, you know, we got to go through a healing line after we hear you pray. Amen. You know, yourself. You hear what I'm saying? Well, I'm just kidding with you. But here's the whole thing. There's a time for just being quiet. I bet you every one of us in this room have had that unpleasant experience of sitting down to lunch with a motor mouth. You ever sat down and had lunch with a motor mouth? It's these people that have this invisible motor on their jaw, and it's like they just, won't stop. And it's like, have you ever been with somebody like that? And you try to jump in and share a little bit of what you want to share. It's like they just run flat over you. And you're finished with your lunch. They hadn't even started their hamburger. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, I don't want to be around somebody like that all the time. And sometimes I think God's up there. You know, it's like, I rebuke this, I rebuke that. And he's like, Jason, forget it. I'll talk to you when you get through. Amen. I'll talk to you when you get through. And the Lord says, why don't you just have some prayerful meditation and listening. All right, look at this. Proverbs chapter 4. Go to verse 23. He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, without pursuing that, this is another seminar, but look at this. Your heart realm is your God-given autopilot. I want you to write that down. Your heart realm is your God-given autopilot. In our airplane, we have a sophisticated three-axis autopilot. It controls direction. It controls altitude. It's also tied in. This God-given autopilot is tied in to a computer called a GPS unit. It's hooked up to satellites. I mean, in my airplane, I've got this thing hooked up to satellites. And so when I was up in Marietta, and I intended to come down to Haralong Airport and land there, I dialed in 23 Juliet. That's the identifier. That is connected to my autopilot. I punched the button. At the moment I took off, guess what? The airplane turned automatically and flew straight to Haralong Airfield in Jacksonville, Florida. How did it do that? Don't ask me. It's all hooked up to satellites and stuff like that. I just know how to punch the right buttons. Amen? Here's my point. Your heart is your God-given autopilot. What do I mean by that? Whatever you program in your heart is where you're going. Whatever you program in your heart is where you're going. If you meditate on junk, I tell you, you're going to have junk in your life. If you meditate on what God wants you to do, your feet will begin to go in that direction. It's your God-given autopilot. Now, you see, I can't just sit there and dial in Memphis. Well, God knows what I mean. Praise the Lord. He knows we need to go to Jacksonville. Dial in Memphis and expect to get to Jacksonville. Are you hearing me? Well, you think that's funny. There's a lot of Christians just like that. There's a lot of Christians. They think, I can watch R-rated movies, and I can read romance novels, and I can watch, you know, listen to Playboy and stuff like that. And God knows. Yeah, He knows you got junk in your heart, and it's your God-given autopilot. Are you hearing me? Now, how does this tie in? Let's go on down. We're in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and go down to verse 23. Keep thy heart. Now, you can understand. Guard your autopilot. Guard your autopilot. Everybody say, guard your autopilot. Say it again. Guard your... All right, he says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, go on, verse 24. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Look at before we read the next verse. He's saying, what you look at, what you listen to, what you talk about, these are all ways that you program your heart. Now look at the next verse, and this really ties us into our key. Verse 26, please circle this. Ponder the path of thy feet. You must mark that. Ponder the path of thy feet. We're talking about prayerful meditation. We're talking about waiting on the Lord. He says in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. There's a time where you just need to lay on your bed like David and ponder. Where have you come from? Where does God want you to go? Are you on course? Are you off course a little bit? Do you need to adjust? Begin to think, meditate about it, begin to dream about it. You know what I do? I lay down and I dream about our radio broadcast being coast to coast with the most. Hallelujah. You say, well, you're only on 18 stations. Yeah, but that's a whole lot more than two. Praise God. And, you know, I just see in my mind, I just see little fires, as it were, around the country. And that represents the stations. And then I see in my mind, like, radio signals going out, you know. I see people driving. I see this. Why? Well, it's part of that meditation, pondering. What will that do? It's programming my autopilot. It's programming my autopilot. Now, I can't describe the exact situation because I think it would be unkind, and this person is a very good friend of mine and so forth. But I recently had a person call me and just ask me to do something major. I mean, it'd be a major shift in my ministry to work with them in this venture. And, you know, it's a good thing. But here's the point. The moment that person challenged me with that, I didn't give them an answer right then because I didn't want to be unkind and just say, you know, throw cold water on top of their idea. I said, I will pray about it. I will consider it. But I already knew in my heart the answer. And the Lord said, that's sidetracking. See, your autopilot's trying to take you to the radio. Now, for you, it might be business or something else. But for Jason, your autopilot's going this way. You've meditated about it. My voice has come to you. You're pondering the path to your feet. Stay on course. Don't get sidetracked. Stay on course. Don't get sidetracked. And so when we talk about hearing the voice of God, we talk about activating the voice of God. This is very important. You mark this verse if you didn't do it earlier. Verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Isn't that good? Now go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. How many of you are getting something out of this one? You know, I tell you, we live in such a fast-paced society. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We live in such a fast-paced society, we just need to slow down. I mean, we get upset because it takes 3 or 4 minutes for the popcorn to get ready. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the kind of society we live in. Bless God, won't that thing hurry up? It's already been 3.5 minutes. You know, and I mean, we expect it to be salted and buttered when it comes out of there. Praise the Lord. And sometimes we kind of carry that over, it's like, into the realm of God. It's like, you know, listen, Jason, I have believed God. I have stood. God knows I've stood. God knows I've been faithful. I've been praying over that for 2 weeks. 2 weeks? How about Abraham and Sarah, 25 years, believing for the child of promise? How about Noah, 120 years, building the ark? That's why they're called heroes of faith. 2 weeks? Honey, you're not considered Hebrews chapter 11 yet. You haven't even made it to the concordance yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we need to slow down sometimes and just prayerfully meditate, still ourselves, quiet ourselves. And I'm going to make this statement as well. There's times that we need to just turn off the music. Even Christian music. And just have some quiet. Listen. Everybody say, listen.
Yes,
now, you've been wanting to tell your neighbor off all day. Turn to that person next to you across town and just say, listen. Tell them. Amen. Didn't that feel good? Tell them. Tell them, listen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to show you something here. Very, very interesting. Verse 12. Go with me to verse 12. 1 Timothy. Be sure you're in 1 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Now watch this. This is Paul. I mean, we're talking veteran here. Amen. We're talking apostle. Passing along to young whippersnapper Timothy some of the important criteria. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And this is quite a list, folks. You ought to mark this. In word, conversation, or that's the King James. It's better translated behavior. Not only in your word, but in your behavior. In love, in spirit, that would be your attitudes. In faith and purity. Now look what he says. He directs him to some of the very lists we've been talking about. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Now folks, you know he's talking about Scripture. Hello. He's not talking about give attendance to Reader's Digest. He's not talking about give attendance to USA Today. He's saying to him, and we know this from the implications, he's saying give attendance to reading the Word. The Scriptures. Go back to the Pentateuch. Go back to the prophets. Meditate on those. And by this time, even the apostolic letters were beginning to circulate. He says, you meditate on these things. Why? It's going to program you. It's going to program your heart. Your God-given autopilot. You'll go in the right direction. You'll be able to fulfill what he just said. You'll be an example in the way you talk, the way you behave, etc., etc. Read on. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That is good teaching. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Everybody say prophecy. And so Paul says this. Number one on the list, Timothy, you go to the Word. The Word's first. Number two, yes, at times God will speak to you through prophetic utterances or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll be talking about that. He says you think about that too. But notice the Word first, then prophecy, things that were spoken over him. But verse 15, here it is. I want you to circle this. Meditate upon these things. Mark that. We're talking about prayerful meditation and waiting upon the Lord. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He said, Timothy, if you want a prophet, how many of you want a prophet? Can I just see your hand? May I just paraphrase that? How many of you want to get ahead? How many of you want to, you know, have the victory? Call it what you want. He says, meditate about these. Well, what are you meditating on? What you read. You just lay down, Timothy, meditate. Now, let me give you at least the Hebrew definitions for the word meditate. And it's very interesting, these definitions. The word meditate means, number one, to ponder. We've talked about that. To ponder. That is, just think about it. Number two, The word meditate means to converse. I thought that's it, to converse. So it's got more implication than just you and yourself. There's a dialogue involved. Dialogue with who? With the Lord. So there's pondering, there's conversing. And number three, the word meditate means to mutter. To mutter. Brother Jason, you mean you have to be a mutterer? Yes, you must be a God called mutterer. Hallelujah. You might as well go ahead. They think you're weird anyway, being here. Amen? Ooh, Jason, that's kind of weird, muttering to myself. Well, you just lay on the bed and you just begin to kind of talk. Well, Lord, you know, we've been having the problem with this. And Lord, I remember when you helped us in that first crusade and the banner fell down and rained me out, you know. And Lord, oh, Lord, I remember that. And Lord, you know, you're just kind of muttering. And then maybe some verses come to you. And this is really the same formula. And write this down. We'll not turn there for the sake of time. But this is the same formula he gave to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but thou shalt meditate upon this word day and night. Meditate, observe to do it. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have success. I'm telling you what, this helps you get in position for activating the voice of God. Remember what we're talking about. We're talking about setting in motion. How many of you want to set in motion the voice of God to a greater degree? Then get hold of this. Get hold of this. There's time for prayerful meditation and waiting on the Lord. Another verse, but we'll not turn there. I want you to write this one down. Many of you are already familiar with this one. But it's Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall what? Walk and not faint. Now that word wait, they that wait, it's the same word that we just talked about. It means ponder. It means to mutter, converse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. And the Hebrew there is better translated, exchange. They'll exchange their strength. They'll exchange their weakness and get God's strength. So I'm laying there just in a weakened state. I don't want to sell this house. I do not want to sell this house. I'm afraid this. I'm afraid that. All of a sudden I begin to just prayerfully meditate before the Lord. My weakness goes out. His strength comes in. My first home goes out. My second home comes in. Hallelujah. And that's just the way it'll be. All right. What key are we on? Somebody help me. Talk to me. Key number 7. I want you to write this one down. We're talking about keys for activating the voice of God. And we're on number 7. The 7th key is yielding to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the speaking gifts. Learning to yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the speaking gifts. Yielding to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the speaking gifts. And I'll clarify this as we go. Turn now with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, I've got an entire series, on our tape table on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I've got one set entitled, How to Yield to the Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's probably, there's 6 tapes. I imagine there's probably 8 hours of just, line upon line teaching about the charisma gifts of the Holy Spirit, but more importantly, how to get them going in your life. So we're just going to hit just a few of the mountaintops here. But here's what I want you to see. The gifts of the Spirit are not only intended to help others. They will primarily do that. But the gifts of the Spirit also have a place for your own personal edification. Did you get that? The gifts of the Spirit, will help others, but there's also a place for personal help. I'm a person. Somebody said, well, I was supposed to help people. I'm a people. Well, I'm a people's people. Amen. I've double qualified. Jason, people's people. And so the gifts of the Spirit will help edify me so that I can in turn jumpstart somebody else's battery. I mean, if somebody's battery is dead, you run around the neighborhood, don't you, with your jumper cables, and you try to find another dead battery. Isn't that what you do? No. If you don't know that, that's why you came tonight. Write that down. You find a battery that's charged. What? You're going to jump the juice from the charged battery to the dead battery. Now, if Jason Peebles' batteries are drained, I need to learn some ways of getting my batteries charged, or I'm going to be useless to anyone else. And I think a big part of this is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, don't go out and misquote me. I'm not saying that without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you'll never hear God. Obviously, that's not the case. But I don't know about you. I want every channel open for the voice of God that I can have. I mean, if God wants to get to me, I want to open the doors. Amen? And here's one of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's look at just a few verses on this. Go with me to verse 1. Paul, and I think this is such a beautiful summary here. Look at verse 1. Follow after love and... Everybody say and. See, somebody says, oh, bless God, you can have the gifts, I'll take the love. Well, you don't have much of it talking to me like that. Amen. That's the starting point right there. No, it's not either or, it's both and. Everybody say and. He says, follow after love and, mark it, desire spiritual gifts. The King James says, but rather, that's because prophecy is a gift. It's better translated, especially that you may prophesy. Now, why does he say especially? Because prophecy will edify others. And the whole gist of the gifts of the Spirit is you want to be a benefit to others. You don't want to be damaging others. You want to be an edification to others. But I think it's important here. Mark the word desire. Verse 1, desire. Now, Brother Jason, I just don't desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. You don't have a problem. You're not going to experience them. Don't worry. I had this, actually this happened in Jacksonville some years ago. I was at a meeting, this lady came up and she said, Brother Jason, and her husband was standing right behind her. And so I didn't know, you know, when this happens, it's like, this guy was big too. It was like, wow, I just better watch what I say. He might pop me in the head, you know, knock me down. And so, you know, she said, I like you. I like everything about you. I like your teaching. I like your success emphasis, your positive uplifting. But I don't like those unknown tongues that you talk about. Do I have to speak in tongues? And I was like just kind of praying. And by this time, I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, her attitude and everything. I said, no, ma'am. I said, you don't have to pray in the Spirit or tongues. I said, you don't have to prophesy. I said, you don't have to have love, joy, peace, patience. You don't have to have anything. And she said, but you just said that it's important. I said, well, I believe it is important. I said, but here's the thing. And by this time, the Holy Spirit had given me a word of knowledge. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were operating, even though she didn't believe in them. I said, the Lord shows me, and I was getting bold here, and I was like one eye on her and one on her husband. Amen? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said that. And I said it in a kind way. I said, the Lord, I feel, shows me. And there was nobody else around. It was not going over the PA system. I wouldn't do that to somebody. But I said, I feel like the Holy Spirit shows me that you are in a prayer group with lady friends, and you are very concerned about what they would think about you if you got involved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, ma'am, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are really not the issue right now in your life. It's pride. And you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for that and be willing to have whatever God wants you. One eye on her husband, right? By this time, her husband was back there going, that's it. You know, I mean, and so I just kind of homed in on that thing. You know what I'm saying? Radar was attached. Amen. And the Lord ministered to her, and she said yes and this and that. So, but here's the thing. Verse 1, look at it. Desire. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
I mean, you've got to desire the gifts. And I don't know why. I guess I do know. People have seen abuse, misuse. People have been in the meeting, things called the Holy Ghost. That, you know, if that was the Holy Ghost, I'm a brain surgeon, you know. And so no wonder sometimes people are afraid of it. But you know what? I've seen salvation, the salvation message abused. I've seen people witnessed to in a wrong fashion. I've seen them, you know, collared and embarrassed. What does that mean? That therefore we're going to avoid the whole mess? No. I've seen prayer abused. I've seen a lot of things abused. It's not like let's throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's find the reality and go for it. And a big part is desire. Everybody say, I desire.
I desire.
Let's say it like we mean it.
I desire.
Everything that God has, all that God is. That's a good posture to have. Well, he says in verse 1, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now, I want you to mark that. Unto God. Mark that. Unto God. Tongues is not gibberish. Tongues is not hype, though I've seen hype attached to it. But tongues, and you may want to write this in your notes or in the margin of your Bible, is a prayer language unto God. It's not unto men unless the Lord gives an interpretation. But its primary usage is unto God. So if you haven't marked that in verse 2, you ought to mark that. It says, "For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." Everybody say, "unto God." Now, I've always thought this, anytime you speak to God, that's prayer. Hello? I said, anytime you speak to God, isn't that prayer? So that's whether it's English, or that's whether you've learned Spanish, or whether you speak Portuguese down in Brazil, or whether you speak in a heavenly language that the Holy Spirit has inspired you with. It's unto God. All right, he goes on, it says, "For no man understands him," and you ought to mark this, "however in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Mark that, that's very important. In the Spirit. Everybody say, "in the Spirit." So praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, what does that mean, mysteries? It means that your brain doesn't understand it yet. Now, folks, there's a lot of things that I would like to know about that I don't know about that are mysteries to me yet. I mean, right now, I would like to have some answers for my ministry that I haven't gotten a hold of yet with my understanding. I know the Lord knows it. How many of you know the Lord knows it? How many of you believe God is smart? I believe His brain's bigger than my brain. Amen? A lot bigger than your brain. God knows, if I could ever tap in to what God knows and it could become fruitful in my understanding, I'd be ahead of the game. I'd be ahead of the game. Now watch this. Don't miss this. At this point, I'm shifting. I don't have time to teach on how to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to help others. I want to focus in on you. As you pray in the Spirit, there is a place, as you pray in the Spirit, to learn how to interpret your prayer language. Not every time you do it, but there will be times, if you will yield to this, there will be times where the Holy Spirit will come back and interpret, and out of your own mouth, you're speaking to God, and then out of your own mouth, God's speaking out of your mouth to you. And you're tapping it. The mystery is now solved. You've seen that show, Unsolved Mysteries? Well, this show is called Solved Mysteries by God. Now, the first experience I ever had with this, I was driving down the road, absolutely true. I was driving down the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back when I was a student at Oral Roberts University. And Oral used to stand there and he used to talk about tongue and interpretation. This got all over the secular people. You know, they'd come up to Oral Roberts, president of a $500 million campus. $500 million. Now, you may not like Oral Roberts. You know, you may have heard of this, that, and the other. But you got to give the guy a little bit of credit. Anybody that can build $500 million university got a little bit of something on the ball. And so they'd come up to him with the cameras and interviewing President Oral Roberts. "How did you build the university?" And they wanted to hear him say, like, "Well, we had, certain architectural firm, and we had engineers." He would stand there. "Well, I prayed in tongues and I interpreted." Oh, my goodness. I mean, they're just like, turn the cameras off, interview's over. That was his answer. And I heard, as a student, Oral Roberts stand up and say, "God spoke to me as I prayed in the Spirit and I interpreted." That's not the only way God spoke to him. One of the ways God spoke to him, "I prayed in the Spirit about mysteries. I interpreted and the Lord helped me to understand what the next phase of the campus was to be, how to put the financing together, certain architectural firms that, yes, had to be contacted, but how to begin to order these things." I mean, we're talking a tent evangelist, folks. A tent evangelist who has built a $500 million, what's more than that now, that was when I was in school, a $500 million campus that has educated thousands of students with bachelor degrees. This isn't just a Bible school. This is a full-blown liberal arts school. And that's amazing, isn't it? And it's on record. Now, you may not like it. You may not agree with it. But the man who built the university said, "I did it through praying in tongues and interpreting." Praise God. Hallelujah. It's like, oh, my. Good. Don't you have a different answer? Don't you have something that makes more sense? No. The Holy Spirit. Now, look at this. Verse 3. "He that prophesieth speaketh unto men." And you mark this. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those are very important for you to mark. Edification. When God speaks to you, He's not going to rip you apart. Now, I'm just telling you right now, some prophet doodad come up to you and lay hands on you and start rebuking you and telling you how pitiful you are and this and that and leave you in a devastated state, that's not God. Now, God may come and adjust you and correct you, but He'll do it in a loving, uplifting, kind way. He will not embarrass you. I had one guy come up to me after a meeting. He came up and said some silly thing, "Thus saith the Lord." I just looked right back. I've gotten bold. Yeah, I don't have time to mess around anymore. Amen? I used to be nice. I mean, it's just like, I told him, I said, "I don't agree with that." And he didn't know what to say. I said, "I don't agree with that." And I said, "That's unkind of you to do that." I said, "I got people to talk to. Next." And, you know, now nobody's going to talk to me tonight, I know, you know, but I'll be nice to you. But here's my point. You know, you come up and give me some kind of goofy deal like that, I'm not going to entertain that. It's edification. Will you mark this? Edification means positive. Positive. Builds you up. Exhortation and comfort, not condemnation. Now, look at me. Even though verse 3 is specifically talking about prophecy, any of the gifts, their motive is to do this. If you're healed, it'll edify you. Hello?
Yeah.
If you're delivered from depression, that'll build you up.
Yeah.
So it's not just prophecy, but prophecy will do this. Now watch. When I pray in the Spirit and interpret, I get edified. I'm driving down the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back to my story. And Oral, he was telling the students, students, begin to speak in your prayer language unto God. And he had big old bushy eyebrows, and his eyebrows go... And I was out there kind of going, you know, it's like, this is all new to me. Now, students, and I thought, I said, praise God, I finally, you know, received the prayer language. And he said, now interpret. And I was going, oh, I'm just used to praying in the Spirit. And I was driving down the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, minding my own business, singing, Hoba Libba, sing the Borish, and just praying in the Spirit. I was lifting my voice, having a big time, and I was not prepared for what came out. The Lord said, yes, my son, pull over your left front tires, about to blow out. I said, what was that? I am telling you, this happened to me. I thought, you know, that can't be God, because I didn't feel any thump, thump, thump or anything. And I prayed a little more. He said, pull over, your left front tire is about to blow out. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit knows? I said, you know, I believe I'll pull over. Amen. My mama raised me right. I said, I believe I'll pull over. I pulled over. I thought, well, you know, wouldn't hurt to look. I didn't hear any thump, thump, thump. Back then the speed limit was 70 miles an hour. And so that tells you, kind of, I'm like, you know, way back there, you know, in school, 1974, back in there. I look at the tire. There's a piece of rubber this big hanging that was cut, hanging off the left front tire. I cannot tell you the impact this experience had on my life. It was more than just a tire. I mean, it dawned on me. My God, God knows. I know we know that, but it hit me. God knows. I said, it works, it works, it works. I got back in the car and I drove 30 miles an hour and got a new tire. Everybody say it works. All right. You get anything out of this? Well, Brother Jason, I'm just not sure the Lord will want me to participate in that. Go to verse 5. He says, I would that you all spake with tongues. Now, some of your versions might say, I pray or I wish, but the Greek there is more emphatic. I want you to. I want you all to speak with tongues, but especially I want you to prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with a tongue, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. What's Paul saying? He's saying it's important for you not only to speak in tongues, but if you're going to do that in a public gathering and give a message, you need to come back around and interpret that. Now, if you're still left unconvinced that God wants every single believer operating in these things, a couple more verses for you. Go to verse 26. I know I'm hopping around, but again, I don't have time to linger, you know, and teach an entire session on this. Go to verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, how many of you? Well, there's one person that got it. Dan got it. Verse 26. When you come together, how many of you?
Everyone.
Would you say everyone?
Everyone.
Well, that's still half of you. Everybody say everyone?
Everyone.
Verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done in edifying. Now, he's given some rules and regulations. He's saying, obviously, when you come together, you don't have time to go around the room and listen to everybody. But he's saying, here's the thing. When you come together, everybody has these abilities. I mean, do you think that only certain people have a psalm? You got a whole book of them, 150 of them. He's saying just the way that everybody could have a little teaching, a little exhortation, everybody's got a tongue. Oh, bro, I just believe that's the muscle in your mouth. I believe he's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Go to verse 31. Go to verse 31. That's obvious. I believe you got a tongue in your mouth too. Amen? By faith. I just believe that. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. For you may all prophesy. How many of you can prophesy?
All.
Please mark verse 31. How many of you can prophesy?
All.
For you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, it's subject to you. Don't give me. And I tell you, we're seeing a lot of this today. Somebody stands up and said, oh, brother, I just couldn't help it. The Holy Spirit, you know, did that to me. I couldn't help standing up and just interrupting. Yes, you could. The Holy Spirit's not going to possess you and make you do anything. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, not out of control. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, not out of control. And so somebody comes up and says, well, I just couldn't help it. Well, you, that's not biblical. Look at verse 32. Your spirit is subject to you. That's the way God works. Now, you know, I know some people, they get carried away. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody, be unkind. But I'm trying to draw a line and say, look, ideally, let's flow with what the Scripture says. There's a place where the Word and the Holy Spirit can work together. Now, here's my exhortation to you, and then we're going to leave this key. I want you to write this down in some fashion in your notes. And just put it in your own words, okay? I want you to begin to ask the Lord to help you to flow in the speaking gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. What are commonly called the speaking gifts. There are many gifts of the Holy Spirit, but commonly what are called the speaking gifts, tongues, that is a new prayer language, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those three. Tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Why? These are the communication gifts. Now, we're talking about activating the voice of God. Do you see the connection now? We're talking about activating the voice of God. And so it behooves you to begin to flow in the communication gear. And I'll show you for this. A few more verses and then we'll move on. Look at verse 13. Chapter 14, go to verse 13. Chapter 14, go to verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue... Please mark this. Verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he what? May what? All right, somebody says, well, I believe that's just for a meeting. Well, yes, it is for a meeting, but it's also for private usage. And so here's what I learned to do through Oral Roberts' ministry and through that experience. I found out this is not just something that happens periodically. Every day I can pray in the Spirit and then say, now, Lord, do you have an interpretation for me? That's no guarantee that every time I'm going to get it, but I'm doing what verse 13 says. I'm at least praying or desiring that the Lord would come right back around out of my own mouth and say something like, my son, be encouraged, don't be discouraged. You've got a beachhead in your radio conferences. Move forward. Don't look at what you don't have, look at what you do have. Keep your eyes on the goal and keep going. I mean, that's just a word of encouragement that just flows out of your mouth. How many of you could use something like that every day? Sometimes when I get an interpretation, it's really just Scripture. The Lord will just quicken to me Scripture, and I'll begin to quote or paraphrase verses from the Bible that come out of my mouth, and that's a very simple way the Lord will use through tongue and interpretation and prophecy. See, tongue and interpretation, when they go together, it has the same effect as prophecy. Prophecy is in your known language. For us, that would be English. So when somebody stands up and says, you know, thus says my, you know, my son, this and that, you know, so forth. That's no different than if somebody prays in the Spirit first, then comes back around and gives you the interpretation. Same effect, edification, exhortation, and comfort. But go back to verse 13. Pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what prays? Now you must mark this in verse 14. My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. All right, look at me. When I'm praying in tongues without interpreting, my spirit's doing a good job praying. But my brain's kind of in neutral at that point. I don't understand the language, but there's still some benefit involved there. I'm communicating with God. Mysteries, we talked about that. I'm speaking unto God. But Paul says, let's don't leave it there. Look at the next verse. He says, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? Now, here comes the pattern. You mark it. You start in the spirit. You end up in the understanding. You start in the Spirit, and then you end up with the understanding. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and, circle the word and, you're going to do what verse 13 says, you pray in the Spirit, then you're going to ask for the interpretation. I will pray with the understanding also. You see that? All in one motion. I pray in the Spirit, and then I ask the Lord, and He helps me with the interpretation. I come back along with the understanding. Now, why is that important? My mind gets fruitful. I begin to hear God. God begins to show me new direction. I receive edification, exhortation, and comfort. My battery's charged. Zap! I can now jump your battery. Amen. Amen. Well, it also works in singing. Look what verse 15 says. I will sing with the Spirit. I like doing that probably more than just speaking. I will sing with the Spirit, all in one motion, and I will sing with the understanding also. I tell you, sometimes I just drive down the road, lifting my voice, and I get a little rhythm going in the Holy Ghost. And I come back and I interpret. And I'm telling you what, it's so good. I'll enjoy it. How many of you like our little theme song, Victory for Today? You've heard about it. I got that through tongue and interpretation in a hot tub. I was cooking, amen, literally cooking. I was in the hot tub, and I was just worshiping in the Spirit. And I got that. I ran in and grabbed our cassette player. And, you know, I'm not a musician, so I sang that. It first came in tongues, the tune. Then I got the interpretation. I ran and recorded it. I sat down with Martha. I said, Martha, I think I've got the theme song, because we used to have a different introduction. Some of you that followed us from the beginning, then we switched. I said, and she worked it on the piano. We went to the studio. She recorded it, and now it's all over the country on radio. And people that don't even believe in tongue interpretation, they're hearing it every day. They're hearing it every day. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
And so, I guess here's my challenge. I'm not saying you got to have this to hear God, but it is a wonderful avenue for you to explore and press into. And notice verse 15 says, I will. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
Count how many times verse 15 says, I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. Notice he doesn't say, when I feel led. When I feel goosebumps. Paul had developed this in his life. I mean, when he was out there floating around the Mediterranean, you wonder what he was doing? I guarantee you he was praying in the Spirit and interpreting. Edification. How do I know that? Verse 15, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And he's not saying more than one of you. He's saying all of you put together in Corinth, and they were out of order with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he was having to come in and give them corrections and show them how to, you know, proper order and so forth. But he was saying, lump all you guys together who are out of order and add up how much you speak in tongues. I do it more than all of you. Well, he wasn't doing it in his church meetings, because he just got through saying up there, I'd rather speak, you know, just a few words that you might understand. Where was he doing all that praying in the Spirit? In his private life. And man, his battery was charged. How many of you believe the Apostle Paul's battery was charged? All right. Praise God. And so, yielding to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the speaking gifts. All right, number 8. And we'll just spend a moment on this one. We won't linger too long. Key number 8, and we're talking about activating the voice of God, setting the voice of God in motion in your life, ways that you can posture yourself to do that. Key number 8, worshiping God with your giving. You say, well, boy, how's that tie in? You'll see. Worshiping God with your giving. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. I wouldn't believe it unless it was in the Bible, but it's in the Bible. How many of you will believe it if it's in the Bible? Somebody says, you mean you believe some of those stories? Acts chapter 10. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Worshiping God with your giving. You mean to tell me you believe those stories in the Bible? Yes, I do. Oh, now, Brother Jason, come on now. You really believe that Jonah was in the belly of a whale or a big fish? Yes, I believe that. I mean, you just can't finally get to the point. If it said that the big fish was in his belly, I'd believe it. I mean, I'm going to believe it. Praise God. Acts chapter 10. We're talking about posturing yourself through giving. Worshiping. Everybody say worshiping. Now, I hope you have the revelation of this. If you don't, I want to help you get it. Giving is not a side issue with God. Giving is not tipping. You know, it's like, okay, you know, I'll give the preacher $2. Now, we understand if the widow's mite. We understand that principle. But a lot of people, they don't connect giving with worshiping. It's like, you know, we worship the Lord, we sing to Him. Giving, it's like, we don't do that. And it amazes me how many people will come to a church like this one, or maybe like one that you attend, and they will enjoy the facility. They want the air conditioner on if it's hot. They want the heat on if it's cold outside. They want the children to run down the hall and get their study stuff. And they won't give a nickel, or they'll give, you know, a nickel. And then they want to take advantage of all the things there, but they're not willing to worship God with their giving. Now, it's very possible to love God and really, really love God and not understand what I'm talking about. There's growth involved. But somewhere in there, God wants to get in your pocketbook. Why? I'll promise you this. Until God gets hold of your money, He hadn't got hold of your heart. It's like people worship like this. Praise the Lord. Check the wallet. Praise the Lord. It's still there. Praise the Lord. One hand up, one hand down. Look at this passage we're about to read. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now, look at me. This guy's not even saved yet. He's a godly man. We would call him a God-fearer. Actually, his qualities are better than a lot of Christians. How do I know he wasn't saved? Because Peter was sent to him to tell him the salvation message through Jesus, and also the power of the Holy Spirit came upon his household. But look at the verse 2. I want you to mark verse 2. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms. Would you circle that? He was a giver. He gave much alms. That means money to the poor, probably money to the synagogue there. Everybody say, gave much alms. Everybody say, he was a giver. All right. He gave much alms to the people and, mark it, prayed to God always. There's no difference in this man's mind between a prayer life and a giving life. Prayer and giving. Now, look what the angel... How many of you want to hear the voice of God to a greater degree? How many of you want to hear the voice of God to a greater degree? Amen. I rebuke that. Amen. Signs and wonders. All right. Let's look at this. Go to verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, mark it, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him. Now, look at me before we read the next verse. Why did the angel come to his house? If I were to tell you the angel came to his house because of his giving, would you believe me? You say, well, Jason, that sounds pretty crass. I mean, that sounds like the guy bought, you know, the favor of God. No. But God had his money and God had his heart. Look at the next verse. He looked upon him and he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, please mark verse 4, thy prayers and thine alms are come up from a memorial before God. I've come because we know in heaven you're a praying man, you're a devout man, and you are a giver. Now, I want you to write some things down before we continue the story. Write these things down, because I know in your mind you're saying, are you saying you buy miracles? By no means. But I am saying this. You write this down. Giving is a declaration of your dependence upon God. That's the issue. Giving is a declaration of your dependence upon God. And God loves people that are dependent upon Him. Write this down. Giving is a spiritual seed. I'm going to give you about four things on giving here. Number one, giving is a declaration of your dependence upon God. Number two, giving is a spiritual seed. It's something spiritual. You find somebody that uses their money in a wrong fashion, it'll affect them spiritually. You find somebody that spends their money in the wrong places, it'll affect them spiritually. You find somebody that puts their money in the things of God, it'll affect them spiritually. The third thing I want to give you is this. Giving opens the windows of heaven. And I believe that's different than what we've always thought. And I'll mention that in a moment. Giving opens the windows of heaven. And the last thing I want to give you this, number four, there's many, we just go on this, but giving is a total act of unselfishness. Giving is a total act of unselfishness. Now, I reach in my pocket, and this is my personal money that I brought from home. I've got $20. My wife gives me $20 every week, whether I need it or not. Amen. Praise God. I got $20. That $20 represents to me my work in the ministry, what I have done to earn that. That represents what I could buy with that. And for me to give that to you or into a ministry work, it's like, you can look at it two ways. It's like, oh my God, he got my money. There it goes. It's gone. Or I can say, there goes my seed.
There you go.
Because I'm dependent on God, who is my source. The moment I look at that and I say, you know, I've got to hang on to that. I'm not giving that. And I shut my heart up. I have just declared my independence from God instead of my dependence. Instead of planting some seed, I'm like the farmer who says, I want the harvest, but I want to keep my seed. But that doesn't go together. Now, let me show you another verse in this story before we leave it. Are you getting anything out of that? Look at verse 4. He said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. Now, we know the story. Peter, he hears God on the other side, as it were, of the country. They hook up. A miracle happens. The Holy Spirit comes. Cornelius tells this story over in verse 30, halfway over to verse 30, and he's kind of repeating this, or is it it's Peter that's retelling this? Verse 30, Cornelius. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, look at this. Here's, he's rehearsing what happened. Thy prayer is heard, and thine alms, thy giving, are had in remembrance in the sight of God. The angel told me he came to my house because they've heard my prayers and they've seen my giving. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? Now, when you give, you posture yourself to hear God. How, Jason? Because you've just declared your dependence upon the Lord. That's the issue. If you're a giver, I'm not talking about a tipper. I think I'll throw in a couple of George Washingtons and that'll help him. You know, that's his picture on a $1 bill. Folks, George Washington has been to more churches than he needs to go to. Amen? Just give that guy a break. No one man needs to go to church that much. Just retire old Brother George from going to church. Amen? Send Ben Franklin or Andrew Jackson. Send one of those guys over to church. You hear me? But the moment that I give and I've planted seed, I've just said, Lord, I'm dependent upon you. There it goes. And you have just postured yourself like Cornelius here. God says, he's a giver. I've got his heart. I come to him and tell him to do something. He'll do it. Why? Because he's already doing it. He's praying. He's a giver. He lets go of his money. I don't have to worry about that. I'm coming to speak to him. Now, I trust I've presented that fairly, and that you don't go away and misquote me and say, he said, you know, you can buy answers. I didn't say that. But your heart is definitely tied to your pocketbook. Your heart is definitely tied to your pocketbook. Malachi chapter 3. Last passage. You getting something out of this? Malachi chapter 3. That's very last book of the Old Testament, so it ought to be easy to find. Just find the book of Matthew and then go left. You'll eventually hit it. Now, I'm going to tell you something that Oral Roberts used to say, and I've just really kind of understood what the man was saying. How many of you ever heard Malachi? You know, you've heard that teaching on giving, tithing, etc. And so, you know, when you give, it opens the windows of heaven, etc. And we all praise God. He'll pour out the blessings. Here's what Oral Roberts said. Oral Roberts said this. He said, whenever I am facing a dilemma, I don't know what to do in the ministry, he says, Evelyn and I, his wife, he said, Evelyn and I plant a seed gift into someone else's ministry. And I think, you know, well, he's trying to hear God. How does that connect? And he would say this, when I do that, the Word promises that the windows of heaven will open unto me, the windows of heaven. And I believe, this is oral speaking, I believe the windows of heaven are when God gives me His ideas, His plans, His strategies. It's not like all of a sudden on your doorstep, oh, there's a miracle. But God shows you what to do to walk yourself into a miracle. Giving is connected to your soul and your thought life. Look at this, Malachi 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? How many of you want to be a God robber? No hands go up on that one. Yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Verse 9, you're cursed for the curse. You've robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord. Mark it. If I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of you would like to have that kind of blessings? Amen? Now, that windows of heaven is the exact same word. I looked this up before the meeting. It's the exact same word in the Hebrew where it says in Noah's day, the windows of heaven were opened for the flood. And the rains poured out and the rains came up out of the earth. You remember that? And flooded. It's the same exact term. He's saying, I will open the windows, and I'm going to take some liberty here on the passage. I'm not going to teach this as doctrine, but I'm presenting it to you for consideration. When you give, God will open your thought life, the windows. He'll begin to have access. The blessings will not only be God protecting your crops and this and that, but He says, I really do believe this, that God helps you to begin to understand the plans, the schemes, the battle strategy. You find a stingy person, God can't get to them. I said, you find an old stingy person that has their hand, you know, tied around their money. They don't want to obey God when God says, you know, tithe and give. You'll find somebody that God's going to have a very difficult time getting into their mind in any realm. Anyway, why? The windows aren't open. God says, you give, it opens the windows. It opens the windows. And I can pour out a blessing. Verse 12, all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord. Verse 11 says, He'll rebuke the devourer. Go down to verse 14. Or verse 13. Your words are also important. Your words have been stout against me. You say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. Don't say that, folks. Verse 14. What profit is there that we have kept His ordinance? Don't say that, folks. Don't say, you know, it really doesn't profit me to serve God. It sure doesn't profit to give into anybody's ministry. Look at verse 13. Your words are just as important in your tithing as the giving. So when the bucket comes by, whether it's tonight or at your church or wherever, you know, the Lord may lead you to give, when that opportunity comes and you put your seed in, you should put your seed in with this attitude. Lord, I thank You that I can give. I'm dependent upon You. You're my source. And Lord, it profits me to serve You. I'm blessed to serve You. And you're sending off your seed, and it's not like, oh my God, He got it again. There goes George, as if George is going to really finance the kingdom anyway. There goes my seed. My harvest is on the way. It profits me to serve God. Amen. Everybody say, there goes my seed.
There goes my seed.
Amen. And so, like Cornelius, I do believe this. I believe that our giving is part of our worship, and it is definitely connecting to posturing us to hear God. To hear God. Amen.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.